is your girl, Naya, and you beautiful people are tuned into yet another show for Faces of Success Radio 101 FM. As you already know, it's time for the exclusive interviews with the stars. And this evening, we have an amazing show featuring the one and the only, The Persuaders. Let's give them a big intro real fast. The Persuaders are a New York-based R&B vocal group best known for their hit Thin Line Between Love and Hate, Peace in the Valley of Love, Of Course, Some Guys Have All the Luck, and so many more. The original members formed the group in 1969 after previously singing with other local groups. They were signed to Atlantic Records in 1971 with the original lineup of Douglas Smokey Scott, Willie Holland, James Barnes, and many more. The group stayed with Atlantic for 4 years and scored number one hits on the R&B and pop charts, including 3 R&B hits in the top 10. But let's say no more. Let's get into the interview and see what's going on with their careers now, what's coming up next, and also reliving and getting into lots of the memories and overall how their views of the industry are. So let's not wait anymore. Please welcome the one and only The Persuaders. Good evening, gentlemen. How are you? How are you?
What's going on?
Thank you so much for being in the studio.
Hey, was that an event?
So,
you good?
Yeah. Yes, sounds great. I gave a little bit of info about you, but individually, because it seems like we've got a collective of gentlemen on here, please introduce yourselves and tell us who the Persuaders really are.
I'm Vincent Ballard from the Persuaders, and you have?
I'm Sylvester Big J Jones out of Dallas, Texas.
And I'm Keith Soul Simmons from Baltimore, Maryland.
And I'm T. Marvin Williams from Houston, Texas.
All right. Well, thank you, gentlemen, for being in here, and welcome to Faces of Success Radio. First and foremost, I want to know how the Persuaders came to be, of course.
The Persuaders came to be originally from a previous group, a few different members. That group was called the Internationals, and had one pretty good hit called Give a Damn. And it was pretty big over in England and Germany, right? This is back in 1969. And after that tour, came back to the States and disbanded. And what you have mentioned there with Douglas Scott, James Barnes, Willie Holland, and Charles Stargell started another group, which was I was involved in as far as on the production side, and we called them the Persuaders. And through the years, it's been a transient type group. You know, a lot of members changed, right? We kept the same lead singer, Douglas Smokey Scott, and Tommy Hill, but a lot of members were in and out. And what you have are Vincent Ballard, Sylvester J. Jones, T. Marvin Williams, and Keith Simmons. And we've been Persuaders 30 years.
Oh, wow.
A couple new members of new youngest members, T. Marvin Williams and Keith Simmons. And
that's right.
Here we
that's
are.
That's right.
Here we are.
And we
well,
still carry
awesome.
The torch from.
Of course, definitely. Being able to hold down the torch of soul music and keeping the soul there in music completely and utterly in performance and vocals and
exactly.
Every essence of what the group is about. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
And what would you say, what does soul mean to you when it comes to music? What would you say brings the soul and the feeling in music?
Well, Keith, go right ahead. Your middle name is Soul. You can.
Right.
Keith, go
Soul means to me, and it always been something special to me, and that's why my name is Soul, is music of all genre has, especially when it sounds good to you, it gets deep down in you, and you feel it, and it's something about that feeling when it reaches your soul. And I say that because a lot of folk will, like some folks will say, well, why are you playing the old school slow music? I don't want to be sad. Let me tell you something. When you listen to soul music and it's slow, it doesn't make you sad. It makes you feel good because you feel
it.
You feel it. And so a lot of people are like, I want to hear a slow song. You know, I want to get up and I want to jam. Well, see, I can jam on fast and I can jam on slow. You know why? Because both of them have a lot of soul.
Okay.
That's all I feel about.
Wow. Nice analogy, Keith. Nice analogy. I like that.
Thank you, Soul Brothers.
You're welcome there, Soul.
Well, that was beautifully said. And with holding the torch and continuing to keep soul music alive, what would you say is one of the key things in continuing to develop your sound and staying relevant in the music industry?
Well, I could pretty much say stay consistent, stay irrelevant, stay consistent, but stay grounded in with what you're normally of your used of doing. Like music changes, so you got to change with the genre of music. You got to change with it, but keep it sustained where people can still say, hey, they could recognize, you know, the Persuaders. They could recognize
right.
Gerald LaVert and all these other, you know, saying magnificent groups that, you know, came before, you know, that shared the stage with
mm-hmm.
us. You know, it's all about staying consistent and knowing where you stand in this music business.
There you go.
Well, you know, with me, pardon me, my brother. Can I jump in real quick? Ladies and gentlemen, I am Sylvester J. Jones, and I just wanted to, you know, just to add on to what my little brother just got through talking about.
Okay.
I like to call it keeping it real. You know what I'm saying? Basically, you got to keep it real. And while we're on stage, you know, me and T. Marvin are the youngest members of this group, you know, with me being down for the last 23 years, you know, I like to walk up to people at the end of the show. And, you know, when they run up and say, man, y'all really took me back. I like to be the one to say, you know, did you close your eyes when we sang Thin Line? Did it take you back to when you first heard it? Can you remember what you had on and what you were doing when you first heard it? Did we take you back to that moment? If we did, then our job is done. You know, and that to me is a part of keeping it real, keeping it authentic, you know? Some people put it down before we put it down. You know, and to me, I always want to keep it real. I don't want nothing synthetic. And a lot of stuff that I hear over the radio right now is totally synthetic. Some of these acts out there right now can't produce what they do in the recording studio. And to me, they're kind of snubbing their audience. Whereas we strive to keep it a certain way. Like I said, the originals put it down before us. All we're doing is following that pattern. And we're everyday people, you know. I put my pants on just like everybody else, one leg at a time.
Right.
You know, so you're never – so with us, you will never get us with our nose in the air or have us snub anybody out there. It's actually a pleasure for me to put on a suit and go out and represent what my brothers had put down before me. You know what I'm saying? And once again, I just want to keep it real. You know, and if I could touch one person and have them say, man, I remember that. Man, my mama used to play that. Or man, brother, I was, brother, let me tell you, boy, I remember them blue lights back in the basement. You know, if I can take somebody back there, then I know my job is done. You know, and that I have accomplished what we set out to do. Just keeping it real. That's it.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. All
right.
And I have to ask, with having such powerful songs and as you said, taking people back and keeping it real, what is it like being on stage? Just that feeling of when you're on the mics and you're getting ready and the band is live. What is that feeling for you all when you're performing live or getting ready to go on stage?
Magic.
I'm living a dream.
All eyes on you. All eyes
on you. I'm living a dream that people told me years ago, oh, man, that'll never happen from you. Oh, man, you just a guy coming out of Flint, Michigan. You had a place with the bad water. You know what I'm saying? I grew up in Flint, Michigan, you know, and I was always told, man, that's just a dream, brother. Brother, that's a dream. Well, now I've made that dream a reality. And every chance I get to get on stage, I live it for the moment. You know, so it's like every performance for me is like the first time. It's like the very first time I ever done it. You know, so it's a joy to get on stage with these fellas. Hey, Vince, thanks, man.
Yeah, man.
Thanks for talking to me, brother. Thanks for talking to me, brother.
Hey, you got it, man.
You know, well, 23 years in the making, Vince. Thank you, brother.
Right.
Thank you,
that's
brother.
That's right, man. Hey, you put it down, man. You're supposed to be there.
Hey, man, you let me live my dream.
And you know what makes it even sweeter? When you're singing with three other guys and when they're doing their part, you're in the group and you're getting chills. You're like, good God Almighty, you're killing it tonight. Mm-hmm. You know? And you get the chills. I'm like, holy smoke, that's what I'm talking about. Because one thing you got to say now, when somebody else doing good, make you look good too.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I can really, truly say everybody, all four guys, everybody, they play their role. Everybody plays a role, and it comes out, and that's what brings out the formula within us, and it's the Persuaders, the sound, the Persuader sound. And that's what makes it the magic when we're on stage, and we can just embrace the people and get the people in the palm of our hands. See, when you know you can capture a crowd, you can capture a crowd, that magic, when you put out that magic and you, once you put the magic out, you got them in the palm of your hands. And all you got to do is just take them on that Soul Train ride. And that's all you got to do.
Right,
and ride together.
That's it. That's it.
Yeah, it's nothing like that feeling, walking out there, thousands of people waiting to be served. Right? And you got to come through. Mm. The pressure's there, but it's a natural thing. You know, some people, you know, they don't make it. They fall apart a little bit. But when you know they paid their top dollar to get in there to see you and they part of your fan club and all of that. And,
right.
You know, you want to deliver the best. So that's what we
and
do.
You guys definitely
that's
deliver. You do, absolutely. And me being a youngin' and being raised on what my mother calls real music, I can definitely respect and hold you guys to a high regard of knowing what it takes to be a performer. And I'm probably going to ask you guys before we get into a thin line between love and hate, what are rehearsals like for you guys behind the scenes?
Rehearsals are good, you know. I mean, we've been doing it for a long time. But we still go at it just like, you know, nothing's always perfect. Yeah. Right. Exactly.
Yeah, just like siblings. Just like family.
Yep.
All families have their situations. And you work through them through communication and love. And, you know, you have some harmony there. You work through it. And let me say this, anybody that has a little inkling of love in their heart, they can fix anything.
Right.
They can come through and fix anything. When
That's
you got
right.
hatred and animosity and all that stuff in your heart, these groups break up, they
yeah.
doing all kind of crazy stuff. But any group that you see out there that's been singing a while, and most entertainers, one of the reasons why they're so good is because they do have so much love to give.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Yep.
I love that. I love
mm-hmm.
that, definitely.
So, everyone, we're going to take a little bit of a break and get into one of the most memorable and beautiful songs, of course, along with many others within the repertoire. But we're getting ready to play right here, right now, Thin Line Between Love and Hate. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back with The Persuaders. Again, this is A Thin Line Between Love and Hate on Faces of Success Radio. Between love and hate. Gentlemen, we are back in the building. I have to ask, of course, thinking of you giving it your all on stage and having so many different things going on at once. There's lights, there's sound, there's your band. I have to wonder, has there ever been any technical issues? And if so, how did you handle them during your performance?
Well, let me tell you.
Let me tell you. Well, basically, you know what I'm saying, there's nothing perfect. And when you're doing the show, anything and everything could go wrong. But, you know, you pray. We always pray, say a prayer before we hit the stage and tell the Lord to give us the guidance, give us the steps, and give us the voice and the vocals. But we ain't got nothing to do with the sound check, I mean, the band or anything like that. So, you know, we had an era one time, and like band professionals, the group, us four guys, we just pretty much improv. That's when something like that happens, you just start improvising. When you improv, everybody stays within their key, and we just go for it. It's just
right.
a thing that we have, and we just make it happen.
We don't need it.
You're right, T. If you remember, T is right about what he's saying. It happened to us. The one I recall the most is the Jeffrey Osborne show when the band stopped playing on Love's Gonna Pack Up. And we kept on singing and ended it in an acapella.
Right. There you go.
And it sounded like we practiced it like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, and so when you don't panic, the audience don't panic. So that's where the actual performing in the stage, like you gotta own the stage. You gotta really, like, because, you know, nothing's perfect. So what you truly gotta do is you just gotta stay focused. We know what we gotta do. We know all the songs. We just stay in key, and we stay. And once we know that there's an error, then we know how to improv and to make it part of the show. It's all about having everything. Your things, you gotta go with it. You gotta feel it, and it's there.
Yep.
It's there. If you pass, the crowd gonna pass. They're gonna notice. So
the bottom
line
is.
That's why we pray.
Yeah.
That's why we pray every time. Yeah,
right. Well, not only that. Excuse me, fellas. Not only that. You know, the bottom line is, we stay professional while we out there.
Yep, that's it.
It's a professional thing, man. I mean, you know, we are professionals. You know, I mean, we like to master. We like to be the masters of our own craft. You know, whereas, like I said earlier, a lot of these new groups are too synthetic. I mean, you know, they haven't learned to do that. You know, whereas we go to the woodshed. You know what I'm saying? Fellas, now y'all do got to admit, we do a lot of rehearsing, man, right before we get on stage. You know, it's like we go through it, and we account that something may go wrong. That's why we go through choreography.
Exactly.
That's why we go through our whole show knowing that, okay, if this happens, then this is what we got to do. You know, just like T. Marvin said, anybody can actually flub a note or the band may run off on some other tantrum over here somewhere, or guitar player may break a string, or the drummer may break a stick. It doesn't stop our show. We are too professional for that. You know? So just to sum it all up, pow, that's what it is. I'm sorry. I'm gonna let you have it.
No, I definitely appreciate you guys going in detail, because a lot of our listeners aren't familiar and don't understand that even in the midst of it all, you've got to keep going and give it your all in a great show no matter what. So it's definitely appreciated. What would you say throughout all of your years being together are some of your most fondest memories, whether during a performance or just being together? What would you say are your most fondest memories?
Anybody?
Well, one of them was with President Clinton, right, Jay?
Yeah. That was a good one, Vin.
Yeah. You know, we did a private thing.
We did an Acorn thing. Right there in New York. You're right. Right there in Harlem, actually. Wasn't it there in Harlem?
Yeah, man. That was something to remember.
Yeah, it was. It was. It really was.
Performed for President Clinton. And big private dinner and a meeting of a lot of Sedini people, you know. But it was all good. That's my one of my favorite performances.
Well, you know what? You know, can I? Hey, man. What about when we went and we did President Obama's inauguration?
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. And what about the Million Man March, Vince? Remember,
right.
Do you remember the first
right.
Million Man March?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know,
go ahead and tell about that. You just mentioned Obama's inauguration and also the Million Man March, and that was huge. How were you guys involved in such huge events? And what were those experiences like for you? I mean, were you nervous? What was going through your mind?
Hey, well, the Obama's inauguration parties, they were like out of sight. I mean, it wasn't just, you know, it was because of Obama, you know, being the first black president and all of that. So the inauguration performances were really hyped, you know, especially for people of our color. And we just totally, you know, joyous about the whole event, you know, leading up to doing it and after. So, this thing that you would never forget.
Hey, I got another one. Real quick. Vince, Isaac Hayes' birthday party. Isaac Hayes' birthday party in New York.
Yeah.
When the radio station brought us up on stage to sing happy birthday for him, and the guy standing right next to me was Gerald LaVert. Oh, my God. That was the one for me.
Yeah.
That was the one for me.
Tommy Davis.
That is like one of my fondest memory of actually, you know, being there with my idol, Gerald LaVert. Are you kidding me? Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Jay, what about... They both have gone on,
you know?
Jay, what about Mike Tyson?
Oh, yeah. When Martin Lawrence... Now, when Martin Lawrence did the movie Thin Line Between Love and Hate, New York premiered it at a theater, and Mike Tyson was there with his entourage. You know, the Persuaders is actually one of his best groups, and he came out to support us during the showing of the movie, and he was getting ready to have a big fight in Vegas one year, and we were on stage and Mike heard that he was actually performing at the show, and him and Don King and his entourage came out. And we were told, and we were actually told that Mike Tyson was there. And while we was on stage, you know, we kind of like, can you bring the lights up, please, ladies and gentlemen, the heavyweight champion of the world, Mike Tyson is sitting right there.
Yeah.
Stand up, Mike.
Hey, fellas,
I love you guys.
During the entourage, man, the whole three front rows would be Mike Tyson's crew. Right?
I'm trying to tell you.
He would be there.
Mike Tyson, if you're listening, baby, you're still number one in my book. You will always be my heavyweight champion, brother.
Yes,
it's great to see that you guys have had so many different memories and reliving that. It seems like you guys are just going back down memory lane and the laughs and the love. It's great to hear and it's great to see, most definitely.
Yeah.
And I do have a question. One of you mentioned groups of today being quote-unquote synthetic. Could you define that for me? And how
that was they, Jay. That was Jay.
Let me chime in on that real quick. Sylvester J. Jones again. Hey, everybody.
How are you?
Basically, when I say synthetic, let's put it this way. When the Persuaders picked me up 23 years ago, I was a struggling artist, and I was doing my own thing. And I was writing my own material. I was working at this time. I was going from door to door. Hey, listen to this. And I kept hearing from all the record labels, you're way ahead of your time. You're ahead of your time. What you're doing, nobody's doing right now. And I didn't know how to accept that. And when I ran into the Poindexters, which were the actual songwriters who wrote Thin Line Between Love and Hate, and who they took me under their wing and they nurtured me, and then they presented me to the Persuaders, and the Persuaders said, wow, we got a spot for you. You know, and from that point on, you know, I still honed in on my craft and I still took it serious. And over the years, I got to hear that, you know, after learning all the Persuaders material and bringing what I had to the table and marrying it all up together and making it gel, you know, we created our sound. And then listening to the material and seeing what everybody else was doing out there, when I started to listen back to the radio, I realized that there were no real songwriters out there. You know what I'm saying? I mean, so what I hear on the radio right now, it's like watered down, and it's like they're just doing anything to push a certain narrative. And to me, it's like the generation up under me is being cheated out of so much. You know, and that's why I give Vincent and rest in peace Tommy Hill and rest in peace Douglas Smokey Scott and rest in peace Big Ron Cartier. I tip my hat to these fellows for allowing me to learn the business the way that I know the business today. You know, and I feel like the groups that's out there are just they're missing so much, and it's so synthetic that when it's time for them to get on stage, they can't pull off all the computerized and, you know, the overrated, auto-tuned and stuff like that. It's not real. It's synthetic. You know, whereas everything that we do, I mean, the harmony is so, you know, and the magic is there. And they opened up my eyes and my ears to what's real. I mean, you know, their music is real music. It's not computer made. And it's, and, I mean, you understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So,
right,
you know,
right,
to
right.
me,
right,
when you say this stuff is synthetic, I really mean that it's synthetic. It's all paper thin, you know. But the era that we're singing in, see, I'm a child of the late 60s, you know. I mean, I was born in 68. Mm. And being that I was born, matter of fact, I just had a birthday in February where I turned 50. Thank you, Jesus, I made it, you know. Why, thank you very much. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. You know, but like I said, I feel like,
you know,
these acts out here today are just being cheated. And, I mean, and what the radio format is today, it's lacking a lot of soul. It's lacking a lot of substance. There's no good dialogue. They don't even have good storytelling ability. Let me put it that way.
You know, it's
way.
A lot
when
of
say,
electronics in there. You know, Jay?
Well,
a lot of
what
electronics. I say it's a lot of electronics used today in the studio.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Right? And
people
think it allows them to take shortcuts. Right?
And it's
auto-tune.
It's no originality. It's no originality at all out there. It's no originality.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whereas groups of this era, the Persuaders, the Shylights, the Stylistics, the Delphonics, Blue Magic, groups of this nature, they created something that had substance.
Right.
They can be around forever. Whereas, you know, you got your Trey Songz, you got your Neo. They do good stuff, but then you got to go to your Robin Thicke, who just took the Marvin Gaye song, him and Pharrell, and redid it, and came out and said, this is ours. You know what I'm saying? When everybody back from the era of our music said, no, that's Marvin Gaye. That's Marvin Gaye. You guys can't run around and call that Blurred Lines. That's got to get
you got out. Some exceptions out there like Jodeci, right?
Right.
There's a group like they bring in the pain, right?
Right. You know, T. Boy,
like
man.
Like the Persuaded, right? And,
right.
They're from back, you know, then some groups like that.
And so okay. when you have like the Chris Browns and like the Ushers or any other group out there that's out there right now, if something were to happen out there with the equipment, yeah, they'll panic. See, they can't, and see, now if you got the Stylistics, the Persuaders, the Intruders, if something were happen on stage, they would still start harmonizing like they around a fireplace or around a burning trash can. They will still give you a show. See, these younger groups, they'll panic and they'll just run, like, because they got so much auto-tune and all that equipment, and they're lip-singing over their actual music. They're lip-singing. So that's where everything is today, you know. That's why old school is the best.
Yeah, some of them, not all of them. You know,
not all
maybe
of them,
a
but
handful,
some of them,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, fellas. I mean, you know, I don't want to seem like I'm coming off trashing nobody, but I just don't listen to the radio because everything sounds alike to me. I mean, now you got to fit a certain mold. You got to have a certain sound, a certain look. I mean, you know, whereas the era that we're running around in the 70s, It's about your material. It's about your sound. You know what I'm saying? It's like I said. It's all about substance, man. I mean, you know, you just got to keep doing it, man. You just got to keep real with everything that you do. You know what I'm saying? And it's not
you know what else too, Soul Brother? It's about being classy. I don't know what happened to the classy stuff.
Right.
I can
definitely agree if I may interject on that. A lot of the, like you said, the soul is missing. It's more so about the numbers and the persona than it is about the real talent and being able to hold up as a real entertainer versus, as you said, being synthetic. And also, I noticed that a lot of the music is overly sexualized versus many songs like yours, Thin Line Between Love and Hate, and just having music with substance or a message or telling a story. It's just not there anymore. I can definitely agree with that. And I do believe that there are some real singers out here, but at the same time, it's not what mainstream is looking for. Like, you have the Fantasias and the Jennifer Hudsons and the Patti LaBelles, but that's not what the mass media is looking for. And I do have to ask, for those of us who have the writing capabilities and who are, as you mentioned, being ahead of our time, how would you say that someone of that stature could gain notoriety or get the attention of the labels or gain a fan base of being a real artist? How would they gravitate that attention?
It's a lot of
well,
lot
you know,
of look.
Right now, it, they, oh, go ahead, brother. Go ahead.
I'm saying it's just it's thousands of people that are talented, right? How does a record label or production company or an entertainment group pick you? All right, so it's a lot of luck involved with that, being there at the right time, doing your thing at the right time on a professional level. And maybe trying to figure out what the people may be looking for, right, before you go.
Right.
You know,
right.
So it's a lot of luck in there.
It's a lot of luck. I mean, but what we got to look at now is nowadays is there the record labels aren't signing you. You know, most people are just going on the internet, getting to SoundCloud, and putting their own stuff out. So basically, they're eliminating the record labels, and they're doing it on their own. And now it's about how many numbers, how many views can you get, you know, to draw attention to yourself. and make somebody come look for you, or make somebody want to put something behind you. You know what I'm saying? But then
a lot of it.
Very true.
Go ahead. A lot of it comes from the
Right.
They're like
creating that,
feeding that market that way.
Right. But, and there's that word, people. But, I mean, you know what I'm saying? now you got to look at once you get somebody to actually look at you, and now that you're putting it out on your own and you're drawing that buzz to yourself, all you need right now today, actually, is to create something good. You know, get you a little following behind you, say a YouTube, say a SoundCloud, something of that nature. You can actually draw people to you and get you a following. You know, once right now, if you get 2,000 views or 5,000 or 10,000 views on YouTube, then now you got a fan base. You understand what I'm saying? Now it's easier for you to walk and say, hey. Right now, you can't even walk into a record label and say, I'm like it was back in the 80s or the 90s. Or you could walk into a record label and say, hey, please listen to my demo. Now you got to have a lawyer walk that stuff into the office because they don't even accept, they won't even let you in the front door. You know, unless you're being moved by a lawyer, you can't walk nothing into no door. People ain't even opening up their door for you no more. So now you can't even get your foot in the door. I don't care if you was Michael Jackson, you cannot get your foot in anybody's door because they're not accepting unsolicited material, which is what it's called. Unless you got a lawyer walking it in, now it's being solicited. But if it's unsolicited with just you coming in by yourself, they slamming that door right in your face off a jump. You know, nobody's doing that. Mm. Nobody's doing that now. You know, now I got to give props to my man Master P, who opened up a lot of doors for a lot of people by saying, hey man, we can do it all on our own. You know, they ain't going to give us what we want. So let's go ahead and print up these CDs and sell them out the trunk of our cars. See, I'm from that era. I'm from the Master P era. I'm from the LL Cool J era. I'm from the Russell Simmons era. I mean, you know, I'm back then. You know, I grew up as an 80s baby. And that's when I got that love of getting on the stage doing talent shows and having people say, man, God, bro, boy, you good. Boy, you good. Boy, you real good. You know, and that gave me that bug and made me say, okay, let me try New York and see if I can get put on in New York. You know, and once I got out of high school, it took me about 9 years before Vincent and Tommy Hill and Big Ron and Robert Poindexter and his wife Jackie Members Poindexter heard me sing and say, hey, we want to help you. We want to open up doors for you, you know. And that's when I learned the business because I had been bounced around through so many people saying, oh, man, you good. Oh, brother, I can get you put on. My brother, I can make this. So a lot of people sold me a lot of pipe dreams. And it took some real people to come and say, wow, man, we got that spot for you, brother. You know, so like I said, I tip my hat to Vincent Ballard. I tip my hat to my people that's in my corner with me, and I want to open up as many doors as I possibly can with people that come before me and say, hey, man, listen to this, brother. What do you think about this? You know, I want to give people a shot that nobody really gave me when I first came out, you know.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I mean, so to me, you know, I want to help as many people. Hey, man, anybody got a demo out there that you want me to listen to? Hey, call me, fire me. I'll listen to you, demo.
Still there, so.
Okay, I'm good.
Yeah, I'm still there.
And reel it back in, then. What's up next for the Persuaders? Are there any upcoming performances where we can come out and support? Is there any new music on the way? What's next for the Persuaders?
Go ahead, Ben. Yeah, we got shows. We out there doing it. you know, nonstop. The next show is in Spartanburg, South Carolina. That's on May 12th.
Yeah, right? But that's in a couple of weeks, bro. A
few days away, right? Today's
Wednesday. Yeah, man.
First?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
11
and,
days, fellas. I'll be with y'all 11 days,
okay,
sir.
Okay. Yep. And we'll be in Myrtle Beach, July.
Okay.
6th and 7th at the Asher Theater. We're looking forward to that. It'll be the first time at that place.
Mm-hmm.
And Baltimore.
Then we got some California
August
shows.
Yeah. But we just came back from California.
Right.
Out of
Fresno.
And
Anaheim.
Anaheim.
Fresno
and
Anaheim.
Yeah, the Honda Center, right? And moving around. We'll be in August 4th. We'll be in Baltimore.
Yep, and then I'm working on some shows in Louisiana. You
right.
Know,
okay.
Yeah, we'll be in Long Beach. Here's one. We'll be here in Long Beach on the 18th of August.
That's right.
That's out. That's right out near you. And
all right. Okay.
It. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yes, my friend. We don't discriminate. We're worldwide. We're coming around to you.
I'm going to tell you what blows my mind. I'm the newest member in the group.
Okay.
And when they accepted me, it was a dream come true for me. But what blows my mind, it still blows my mind, when we go to California and there's 20, 30, 40, maybe 50,000, sometimes 15,000, but it's in the thousands all the time. 95%
mm-hmm.
of the people that know all the old school are Chicanos.
Yep.
Really?
Yeah,
yes, they support us more. I mean, I'm a real person. I'm real old school. I'm a real dude. They support us more than our own folk.
Hmm. And that's sad to
say. And I like to ask you, because you sound young. You sound young. Why is that?
You know what it is?
Honestly,
I
want to. Okay,
can
ahead.
I ask you
yeah,
a question?
Go ahead. Go ahead.
I want you to tell us.
Mm-hmm.
Because what's funny is they're out in the audience 17 to 70.
Right.
They're 17
right.
listening to old school Chicano.
Right. That's right.
Well, I can honestly say that there is a disadvantage with our group of people in regards to showing support in real music and positivity. I do believe with times changing and, of course, technology and the sound of music, and a lot of us aren't, a large percentage of us aren't listening to the or raised off of the music that our grandparents and our parents were listening to, as my mother calls real music. Because I was raised on some of the 50s, 60s, 70s and up, as far as
right.
knowing what it is to tell a story, knowing what it is to be a real performer, knowing what it is to have soul and emotion. And a lot of us aren't familiar with that as far as in the younger generation. And those of us that are, maybe it's negating or shying away from a memory or a loss of
mm-hmm.
someone. It could be many possibilities, but I think that we don't really show that much support because of the times that we're in and the influences that we see in the media, for one. Media is a huge influencer in regards
right.
to the music we listen to, in regards to the way that we dress, the way that we walk, the way that we talk. We're not seeing that in front of our faces, and if we're not hearing it and we're not seeing it visually, we don't really know what it means to be a positive influence or know what it means to be a true artist and have real artistry or working hard for what we believe in and what we're passionate for. So I do believe it's all in influences and the people who are around us alongside with our circle of communication and what we watch and what we tune into. That's a huge part of us not supporting each
yeah.
other as people and overall. I'd like to hear your side as well.
Well, I'm in agreement with you. The only thing that I'm a little puzzled with is Chicanos listen to rap too. They listen to rap and hip hop. They don't forget the old school.
Yeah, that is true.
Well,
that is true.
Can I jump in real quick, fellas? One more time. I think on the West Coast, I think it's more or less the radio DJs like Art LeBeau. You know what I'm saying? I mean, his whole format is catered to the Chicanos, and it's more or less it's a lowrider field, and they pick up on the 70s music because that's what he's playing and that's what they're hearing. So it's like every time we go out there, it's a fresh thing because now they can put faces to the songs that they hear on the radio.
Yeah,
you know, whereas
they tune to that station. There's many stations out there, you know. So
right. Why do they
tune to that station? That, you know, that's what Keith is trying to get to, I guess. You know.
Yeah.
I do know, man. They're really dedicated, right? Passionate about it, and the whole thing is really something. And I'm noticing more and more that they're getting younger and younger, the audiences.
Right?
I know how people are passing on, so it's like an automatic thing. But yes, they're sticking in there. They really love this music.
Miss Collins, she had a great point though. She had a great point because, like the generation and like you said, lack of the household, you know, the parents and everything like that. So, pretty much the streets, they're like listening to what's in the streets, what's going on there. They don't got time to be listening to the real, and they're going out there and they're not putting no effort. They ain't putting in the work, so they got it easy. And they come up with this, like, you know what I'm saying, the performance. They don't even got to perform anymore. They just stand there with the mic. But she got the great point.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think nobody's wrong in this situation. It's just, you know, the way time is today. And the only thing we got to do is keep doing what we do. And everybody got their own fan base, own crowd, and everything like that. And that's pretty much that's what I see. So,
yeah, we love it. We love them. They're loving us. It's great. It's keeping the music alive, you know. And it's a winning situation all around. And we're going to continue.
Yeah.
Keep giving it to them.
And I have to ask, who were some of the pivotal groups that you all listened to coming up?
Well, I'm 63, and I listen to the Persuaders, the Delphonics, Continental Four, the Spindles, the OJs, just about all the groups that you mentioned, and I think all of us did, but I'll let the guys, but some of the Joneses, it was a lot of Futures. It was a bunch of them.
Yeah.
The Escorts, you can go on and on. Rolls Royce is just too many to count.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Well, I listen to Five Keys, the Hawthorne, groups like that back in the 50s, right?
Yeah, and now I'm a 70s baby.
You weren't even born.
I'm a 70s baby, so, you know, me and Jay have different perspectives of what we came up with. I'm a 70s baby. I listen to like Michael Jackson. I listen to like Michael Jackson, Jodeci, like Donny Hathaway, Stevie Wonder, Marvin Gaye, The Temptations, James Brown. You know, and I picked that up because of my parents. Like, you know what I mean? I've listened to the, you know, when they had the 45 in the track. What do you call that? The Amtrak. The tracks?
No, the 8-track, brother. 8-track.
8-track, yeah, 8-track, yeah.
That's funny, man.
Yeah, well, see, that
hey, man,
goes
did
to show.
Say
that goes
well, we
to
knew
show
you were talking about. Everybody knew what you were talking about.
Yeah, you know how
exactly.
Far back
so that goes to show. That goes
you
to
know
show.
What you were
I was
yeah,
back.
Amtrak.
I was
I'm going to put my Amtrak in.
Here's the 8-track. Yeah, that 8-track one. I'm glad I could make y'all laugh.
Hey, T, man, I love you, man. I love you.
That's still
love
good,
you,
man. That's good. That's
hey,
good.
Hey,
I'm putting that in my comedy routine.
I mean, that was before your time, man. You ain't got to be perfect.
Oh, my God.
Hey, man.
Yeah.
Well, you know,
it was crazy,
up,
man.
You know,
if you had a whole lot of music in your car, nobody could sit in the back seat.
That's
hey,
right.
Those things
hey,
are huge.
Listen. In my household growing up in Detroit, right, my mom played stuff like the Dramatics, the Persuaders. She played Marvin Gaye, the Temptations, the Spinners, the OJs. You know, these are people that I grew up with. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. And then as soon as I joined the Persuaders, the first show I go out to California, there's the Intruders, there's the Floaters, there's Billy Paul, there's the Dramatics. These are people that I listened to at like 7, 8, 9 years old, and now I'm looking in their face and I'm like, my mama used to play your records. My mama played your records. They love you, man. My mama played your records. Oh my God. Oh my God. I mean, I was like so starstruck. Now when they look at me now they're like, man, you really grew up, didn't you, boy? Boy, I watched you grow up, boy. I'm like, you sure did, man. I'm still out here, brother. Still out here. You know, I love the fact that I still see these people, man. I love it. I really love it.
Yeah,
you know?
Man.
Really
hey,
love
Vince.
It. Hey, Vince,
thanks
again, Vince.
You mind if I
yeah.
You
ever been to those?
You missed me. Go ahead.
You know what you probably would never, that you probably never heard, and I think me and Vince can touch on this. We used to go to a lot of those parties in the basement. You know, they had those old stoves down there that soot was coming off of it, and you slow dancing on your favorite slow record up against the wall, and when the night's over, they're like, what's all that on the back of your clothes, man? You'd be like, what? Why are your clothes dirty like that? And you'd be like, oh, man, I did that on that Delphonic song. For the love I gave you, I know I can't get this clean now.
Right. You're right, man. I remember that.
Can we get back to the Amtrak?
Okay. Yeah, so brother, I like that one. That's a good one. That's a real good one.
All right, gentlemen. Of course, you mentioned the Spinners, the Ohio Players. Fire, of course. Switch.
Yeah.
Let's not forget about Switch.
Oh.
They were absolutely amazing.
Oh, man, I
the
love Switch. Switch. That boy said.
I
call your name, girl.
No, but that boy said,
you know what? I've been thinking about some immature things, and I'm a man now, baby. I'm a grown man. And experience taught me one thing. It taught me to hold on to my love.
Yes, he did.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he did. Bobby DeBar said, I'm a man. I'm a grown man.
You know what? You know,
experience taught me one thing. It taught me to hold on to my love.
Oh,
yeah.
My goodness.
Yeah.
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 Those.
That's going to be a self-contained band. Right?
You know? And if you're going to go that route, y'all, come on.
That's when the self-contained band started replacing the stand-up groups.
Purple Badness himself. Let's talk about Prince, y'all. Let's talk about Prince.
Oh,
Prince made me do a lot of things. Prince made me do a lot of things. Little Red Corvette. Come on now. I idolized that man. I'm from Michigan. We wasn't too far from Minneapolis. So, of course, you know.
Right.
And I'm from the home of Ready for the World. Yes, I am. You know, Oh Sheila. Tonight. You know what I'm saying? Digital display, you know? Out of town lover, you know what I'm saying? I mean, so it's like I grew up in that era. I am an 80s baby, you know? Anything in the 80s, I love it. You know what I mean? That's when I grew up and
you
said,
still,
hey, this is what I'm going to do for the rest of my life.
Still a baby, Bubba.
Yeah, I still a baby.
Oh,
I'm so old, man. I was listening to Elvis Presley. I don't know about y'all.
Okay, but that's a little way before me.
I was listening to Elvis, man. I had that pompadour hairstyle because my hair was curly. So on that one leg out there, one for the money, two for the show. Yeah, I'm Elvis Presley,
oh,
baby.
Another one, the Commodore. What about the Commodore?
Oh.
Oh, shoot. You remember their first album?
Yeah.
What was it? Caught in the Act. Caught in the Act. You remember that first hit they had out?
Seems to me, girl, you know I done all I can. Mexico,
you know what?
Barbara.
All of these, I'm getting self-contained bands, they started replacing the stand-up groups, right?
Yep.
So that was a love-hate kind of a thing, you know. With I didn't hate nobody, but you got less work because
this is
you were getting
a
package
life.
Deal.
Oh, yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Disco, same thing. Disco came in,
yep.
Started pushing the groups away.
As soon as disco came in,
yeah.
Boy, But the beautiful thing is disco didn't last. Disco came,
yeah. Right.
Disco
came
disappeared.
Out.
What you talking about? So, brother, I'm listening to Donna Summer in my car when I go to work.
Oh my God,
oh,
brother!
My
I'm listening to Donna Summer, Sylvester. What are you talking about? Gin City.
Devotion, someone in your life, devotion, things ain't going right, devotion, someone be your friend, devotion, through thick and through thin.
I'm listening to that going to work, man. What you talking about? That gets me up in the morning.
Okay,
hey.
Brother.
You know the music had to be good. If you remember the instrumentation, you know
yeah,
it had
to be good. Yeah, he did.
Hey. Okay.
Hello.
Okay, gentlemen.
Hello.
All right.
Howdy duty time. It's howdy duty time.
But do you see how we have so much fun together, man?
Yes, I do. If I ever went to one of your shows and covered it and just had a great time with you guys, because I'm having a great time now. And I want
to
thank you so much for being on the air again. And I do need to reel it in here and ask you guys, how can everyone keep up with the Persuaders? Do you have an official website or a Facebook fan page that we can keep up with your show?
Yes,
and
we
you
do.
As well?
Yes, we do. Yes,
yeah.
We do. You can always look us up, www.thepersuaders.net.
Right.
www.thepersuaders.net.
Right.
That's our official website.
And our latest CD called Love Lessons.
Yep.
It's out.
You can check that out.
Everywhere. It's all out by Amazon. A whole bit. It's a great EP. You got some great songs on there. People are loving it. Check it out.
Yeah, iHeartRadio. Vince, iHeartRadio was playing one of our songs a lot.
Right.
We Can Write a Book.
We Can Write a Book. Right.
But, right. I mean, you can go.
The name of the album, once again, is Love Lessons.
That's right. That's right.
Beautiful. And are there anybody, while you guys still are on the air, while we have a few more minutes, is there anyone that you want to give a special thanks to live on the air?
I would
like to thank
you. Keep it old school, alive.
Yeah.
All right, all right.
I
would like to thank Vincent Ballard. I would like to thank Robert Poindexter and his wife, Jacqueline Member Poindexter. They are our songwriters who have written for the Persuaders way back to Thin Line Between Love and Hate till current songs that we do right now today.
Right.
You know what I mean?
That's definitely a given, yep.
Right.
Definitely.
Right, got it. Got to show them love. Then I want to show my little brother T. Marvin Williams some love, you know, because without him, we wouldn't be nowhere. I mean, because, you know, that brother said Amtrak. He didn't say A-Track. He said Amtrak. Hey, T. Marvin, man, we love you, brother. We love you, brother.
Okay.
That's the AM, this track, the AM one.
I am so happy that I can make y'all gentlemen laugh.
So you're talking about Amtrak record label. Okay.
If you want to hear stuff in the AM or come out stereo, you got to get yourself an Amtrak. You got to.
Okay, man. I know. Hey, guys.
That was a good one, man. You know I love to laugh, so that was a good one.
I know it, right? Yep.
Oh my God.
Yeah, T, that was good.
Are there any more thanks you guys want to give? Any more thanks that any of you all want to give on the air?
No, we thank you for keeping old school.
I just would like to thank, you know, the guys that, you know what I'm saying, like, we're still going strong. I would like to thank, you know, the members of the Persuaders. Let's just keep striving and keep moving, man, and let's do what we do. I would like to thank
and we thank all our fans, all of them.
I would like to thank the backbones. I would like to thank my backbone, Monika Young, who is my fiance and soon to be wife. I know Vince, you want to thank Willa May. You know, we got to thank the backbones. There's backbones behind us.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? Us fellas, we got to thank them. They are our biggest supporters.
Yeah, I want to thank my wife, Sherry Ann Irwin Jones, you know, for putting up with me. You know, especially while we go off and do our thing and come back home. I want to thank her for being there to get me at the airport and taking me to the airport, you know, handling my business for me. You know, without her, you know, I'd be lost. You know, I'd really be lost, you know. But, I really want to thank her for putting up with me on this journey, you know, as we go off and we leave our houses and become the Persuaders again, you know, out there for everybody, you know.
It is a sacrifice.
Yeah, man, it's a big sacrifice, brother. Believe it. Believe it. You know? Believe it. You know? And then, I want to thank you for saying, hey, let me put these fellas on my radio station. Let me put up and see what these people are going to talk about. Hey, how you doing?
Oh, yeah.
I'd like to give a special thanks out, fellas, to Christina and Titus for putting all our videos out there for everybody to see when we come out to California and Texas and different places. So, you know, if you go on there and punch in Christina Marisol, you'll see all the Persuaders videos. That was done out in L.A.
SoCal.
You're right. It's called SoCal.
Job,
thank you,
man.
Soul.
I appreciate that.
Thank you, man. Thank you.
You're welcome.
What is it called? It's called SoCal?
SoCal. S-O-C-A-L production. SoCal production.
Thank you, Soul.
I think is South Cali. South California.
Yeah, I got you.
But
You're doing a great job. Christina,
you know,
thank you very much.
All right, gentlemen. Yes. Thank you so much. And I'm actually going to play Some Guys Have All the Luck as you're leaving the studio. Thank you guys so much for being in. I had such a great time this evening with you all. And I look
forward to all
of your upcoming performances. Like, thank you so much. I had such a great time, gentlemen.
And put the
English
version in for us.
Thank you for having
us, and
let's do it again.
On the 18th, August.
So let's do it again.
You didn't hear me. You didn't hear me, did you?
No.
No, okay, go ahead.
I told her to put the eight track version in, please.
Okay. We got it. Let's
do it. The Amtrak. Yeah.
I got it.
Thank you.
Okay,
thanks for having us.
Whatever, Keith.
Okay,
thank you.
Gentlemen.
So
thank you.
Right.
You're welcome.
All right, everyone. You are tuned into Faces of Success Radio 101 FM. That was the Persuaders. Again, big thanks to all of the wonderful gentlemen having such fantastic energy, advice, and sharing some of their greatest successes in their career. I want to thank you guys for tuning in, and make sure you check us out on our official pages at facesofsuccessradio.com and Faces of Success 101 FM, and check out the Persuaders official website. Get their dates for their performances, because they're coming to a city near you. As I said before, this is Some Guys Have All the Luck, and we got our Amtrak version in the studio. This is Some Guys Have All the Luck right here on Faces of Success Radio 101 FM.
get on home. Out in the street fooling with the fellas, with the babe all alone. I ain't got time to hang out here talking about who's running around with who's old lady. What box the chick wanna get next to me?
Lord.